a tough trade turnabout with China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. There's word this morning that the Bush administration may be ready to turn the tables on the Chinese over those soaring trade deficits. As early as today, U.S. industries may get another legal tool to wield against what they complain is unfair competition from China. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now from our Shanghai bureau. Scott, what's the change here? It's been my understanding that the U.S. companies have already been able to sue Chinese firms for playing unfair.
Well, that's right. They can allege dumping, which is selling products below market value. And if a U.S. company goes through the process and then wins the case, then the Commerce Department can impose penalties against the foreign competitors from China or anywhere else. What would be new is another weapon for U.S. companies to go after, in their view, Chinese competitors who they say are playing unfair in a different way, that they're getting unfair subsidies from the Chinese government. Everything from special grants to super low tax rates to loans with very nice terms. Now, they've wanted to do this, but for 20 years, these U.S. companies have kind of run into the stop sign at the Commerce Department.
So Commerce is now changing its mind here.
Well, as early as today, there's anticipation that the Commerce Department will come out and announce that. The case before us has to do with a U.S. paper company. And the reason so many industries are watching this is because then the door would be open. The U.S. steel makers, the textile makers, the shrimpers, they're all watching this in case they can get in line and file their own cases using this new legal weapon. Now, the upshot of all this is it takes the U.S.-China trade relationship, which is already strained, and it strains it even more.
Yeah, I know just yesterday the Chinese foreign ministry was saying, look, we want to solve these problems. We're going to have to approach this from a point of mutual respect. But this sounds more like conflict.
Not hearing a lot about mutual respect at this point, right? There's already the tensions over the currency. There are WTO spats going on. The trade gap gets wider and wider. And what's interesting is from the perspective of American companies in China, a chillier relationship doesn't help them at all.
Well, if nothing else, it's going to be interesting to watch this play out. Scott Tong in Shanghai, thank you very much for joining us.
All right, Bob, thanks.
There seems to be a common thread to the administration's focus lately, foreign trade. Brazil's President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva will visit President Bush at the Camp David retreat in Maryland this weekend. It'll be the second meeting this month for the two presidents. And once again, ethanol will be on the agenda. Both presidents are pushing for biofuels to replace oil. But as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports from the America's Desk at WLRN, political realities may complicate their plans.
The last time Presidents Bush and Lula met, they agreed to share technology on biofuels to promote ethanol production. So far, so good. But Larry Burns with the Center on Hemispheric Affairs says negotiations have hit a roadblock.
Brazilian ethanol is being kept out of the United States by tariffs. And the United States has made no particular effort to eliminate that tariff.
That 54-cent duty protects U.S. ethanol producers, and the Bush administration says it's not up for negotiation.
Up to this point, the Bush administration hasn't been prepared to commit political suicide over ethanol. Its support by Republican farm states, that's all important to Bush, far more so than any developments over ethanol.
Brazil can produce sugarcane ethanol for 83 cents a gallon, while U.S. corn-based ethanol costs $1.14. But the tariff makes Brazilian ethanol far less economical in the U.S. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
One potato, two potato, hot potato mortgage time. A couple of Wall Street banking giants are using legal action to get some bad home mortgage hot potatoes off their hands. The Financial Times reports DLJ Mortgage Capital, which is a unit of Credit Suisse, is suing three mortgage companies for more than $30 million, and EMC Mortgage Corp, a division of Bear Stearns, has filed a $70 million lawsuit against a lender. The banks say the mortgage lenders violated agreements which require them to buy back bad subprime loans. At least we know Wall Street hasn't been consumed by the subprime scare. Yesterday, the Dow managed to close 48 points higher, climbing to 12,348. The Nasdaq ended up a point to 2417, and the S&P finished up by 5 points to 1422. This morning, stock futures suggest the market is headed toward a moderately lower open.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Coming soon to a hearing room on the Hill, a blast from the past, the ERA. After this week's reintroduction of the Equal Rights Amendment into Congress, legislators are promising hearings on women's rights in the next couple of months. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports.
The ERA was three states short of becoming a constitutional amendment in 1982. Today's version has a new name, the Women's Equality Amendment. Heidi Hartman is the president of the Institute for Women's Policy Research. She says women who work full-time earn 75 to 80% of what men do.
You know, that's still a pretty big gap, and over a lifetime it can add up to $500,000.
Conservative groups who opposed the amendment in the 1970s still do. Wendy Wright is with Concerned Women for America. She says similar amendments at the state level have led to support for same-sex marriage and decisions about how to distribute health care dollars.
In New Mexico, the Supreme Court ruled that the taxpayers had to subsidize abortions because they claimed that there can be no distinction made between men and women.
The hearings in the House Judiciary Committee will be the first on the topic in more than two decades. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Extra, extra, employees of the newspaper giant Tribune Company may want to read all about this. Two Los Angeles billionaires have upped the ante for their offer to take over the company. Businessman Eli Broad and supermarket magnate Ron Burkle reportedly have offered $34 per share of the company. The bid is valued at about $8.1 billion. Oh, and they also offered to throw in a little something extra to sweeten the pot, about $500 million in cash. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Hey, it's Friday.
American Public Media.
Hillary Clinton is a...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.